You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of red gum in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I answered. And don't call me short.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby!
I am the father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off.
May the force be with him.
Here's Johnny. Be a peace of mind. God is recording this. Won't you look in the sky? Tell him that you got the behavior of your neighbor. Even when stability's never in your favor. Fly with the turbulence. Only last a minute. Land on your dreams and recognize you live it. Walk through the valley of peace with bare feet. Walk through the flames. There's more passion for me. Class as the morning just so the world can see.
What's up, film fans? Welcome to this bonus edition of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined by the cast, the squad. Ed?
Hello, how's it going, folks?
Zach?
Hello.
And you guys hear that? Tick-tock. The countdown is officially on. We are less than 1 week away from Spider-Man No Way Home. Approximately 1 week from tonight, me and Edward have already seen it, and everybody else is in the middle of probably watching it a week from this Thursday. So, yeah, less than 1 week away, Spider-Man No Way Home. And, you know, we only have two more bonus episodes, this one and next week's, man. And then we're done for the year. Give or take, the way I ended last week's bonus episode, I still feel the same way about the original Amazing Spider-Man. But I think it's one hell of a way to end this bonus series for the year with Spider-Man next week. So next week, guys, I'm going to release the bonus episode a day early. So it'll drop Wednesday morning, and you guys can listen to us dissect Spider-Man Far From Home and Homecoming, respectively. We're going to kind of touch on both of them in that episode, and then let everybody go see Spider-Man opening weekend, and then catch us that 20th, December 20th on that Monday, as we talk No Way Home. Mm-hmm. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Here to end the Garfield, as they say.
We're ending the Garfield. Ed, what about you? You ready to talk some Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, definitely. It's got some good things about it, I think.
So before we dig into this movie, guys, you can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts at, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeartRadio. You can also find us on the Prescribed Films Network. Just go to www.prescribedfilms.com, and you can search us under podcasts. You can also find us on the social media. Last weekend, I gave away Shang-Chi. I gave away The Suicide Squad, and I gave away Respect. All three brand new movies. You can win stuff like that by just subscribing to our social media pages. Following the directions takes 2 seconds. You can walk away with a brand new digital copy. Facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And then the Twitter is @Cinnamon405. So don't forget, check us out, The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. We are everywhere. And thanks to you guys, we're growing everywhere. We're growing. We're getting new downloads every week from all across the country and all across the world for that matter. So, I want to say thank you, because this thing is getting bigger and bigger, and I did not imagine how huge or how girthy this thing would be if it wasn't for some of those listens and downloads and likes out there. Also want to give a shout out right quick before we get started to the boys, the guys over at Friday the 14th Podcast. They're also a huge listener, and they're a huge part of our show. So if you have some time, go check them out. They are getting ready to record and review Krampus, a classic original horror Christmas movie. So that should be a fun review, and I cannot wait to listen to their take on Krampus. So, but yeah, other than that, guys, I think it's time to dive in to The Amazing Spider-Man 2. currently sits at IMDb at a 6.5. Rotten Tomatoes is at 52%. The Metascore is at 53%. And the Google users have it at 82%. With a budget of $290 million, it grossed a little over $710 million at the box office with a May 2nd, 2014 release. When New York City is put under siege by Oscorp, it is up to Spider-Man to save the city he swore to protect as well as his loved ones. Starring Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, Jamie Foxx, Paul Giamatti, Dane DeHaan, Felicity Jones, Sally Field, directed by Mark Webb. Zach, did you get to check this one out in the theater? You know, and if so, how was it for this recent watch?
Yeah, I did check this out in the theater. Overall, I'd say that my initial viewing of it was, I thought it was okay. I honestly didn't think it was as good as the first film, but, you know, it is what it is. On this rewatch, I mean, truthfully, I had a fun time watching it. I hadn't seen it probably since the theater, truthfully, and I just had, like, a really good viewing of it.
I'm going to have to stop you right there, sir, and I got to say, I did check this out in opening weekend in theaters, enjoyed it, you know, despite what some of the critics say. Compared to The Amazing Spider-Man 1, I actually enjoyed this recent watch.
You were going to say, like, no, you're wrong.
I thought this was head over heels better than the first one, and I know I'm going to have some people disagree with me, but other than Dane DeHaan,
you're right,
as Harry Osborn, I honestly liked this movie, and I liked it a lot. I did not like anything with Dane DeHaan in it. We're going to get into it a little bit later on, but yeah, first thoughts is I enjoyed it. Ed, what about you?
I'm going to more side with Juan on this, or Johnny on this, for that matter. I did see it in the theaters. Actually, I think I've seen it the opening weekend after hours, for that matter, so kind of for free.
Advanced screening.
Sort of, kind of, yeah.
Whose advancement did you have to tickle?
Not a damn one. That was, you know, when I was working there at the time. So that, I thought it was great. I loved it. I actually even found a new liked band off of it, for that matter. Yeah, no, for real.
You would.
100%.
You talking about Phyllis?
No.
Who was it?
The Neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah. So not only that, but I viewed it several times in between that time and then and current, and still love it.
So guys, you kind of get the demise of Peter's parents in this movie. I thought it was a pretty weird way to open up the Spider-Man movie, but I guess, you know, the first one opened up with the flashbacks of his parents, so why not?
Well, I thought it was a good continuation of that. You get like a little glimpse of it in the first movie, and then it's just, this is what fully what happened.
Which is true. I kind of wish it was the other way around. Maybe get this after the Falling with Style intro, which I absolutely loved, of him falling with the
style,
getting ready to go and attack Paul Giamatti.
Ugh.
Who, don't get me wrong, I enjoy the hell out of some Paul Giamatti, but in this movie, his accent was a little over the top.
I thought it was funny. I didn't think it was great. I just thought it was funny.
Funny to look at. To poke fun at. That's one thing that I kind of hate about some of these new Spider-Man movies. They take an actor like Paul Giamatti, and who's got the incredible talent to just act his ass off. And you just kind of throw away that.
Yeah. Well, and I don't understand. Well, I do understand why they included him in this movie. But, I mean, at the same time, it's just like, if he's only going to be in there for, like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes at least, what's the point in that?
Well, I think you have to look at the big picture, especially what was supposed to come up.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, but I mean, like, you could have just saved him as, like, the ending villain. You really don't even need to have him as this opening chase sequence.
I told you I'd be back.
College graduation.
College graduation was a fun scene. You get the Stan Lee cameo, and then you get I don't know. The more and more that I see Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, he really does make me want to just pretend Tobey Maguire never existed.
Wow.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire to me just felt so much like a diva. Those other movies, and Andrew Garfield's like, give it to me. I'll do it all day long, and I'll enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire, it almost looked like he didn't enjoy doing Spider-Man.
Yeah, this one, yeah, you're right. I mean, he looks like he's just having fun, just, you know, you get to be in a Spider-Man movie, just have fun with
exactly.
it. Tobey Maguire is just like, I don't want to. Just like, just get out of here. Let's get someone that cares.
And, you know, after thinking and, you know, watching this movie, I was like, let me do some research. And not only was it true, like, Tobey Maguire did not want to be in these movies, but he also was a complete diva on set.
Yeah.
And I heard that he pissed Marvel executives off so bad while filming Spider-Man 3 that don't be surprised if he's not in No Way Home because of the bitter taste that he left in their mouths.
Yeah, that's true.
So if there is no Tobey Maguire, I'm like,
I'm good.
I just don't. I don't get that point of, you know what, they're paying you millions of dollars to be in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
And you just kind
of. And you're playing one of the most beloved heroes, like comic book heroes of all time.
Yeah.
Like, why would you throw that out?
There's a lot of people who are like, you know what, I don't like Batman for this reason. I don't like Superman for this reason. I don't like Iron Man for this reason. But how you really can't find a lot of people that don't like Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's true.
He's a fun, lovable character. You can even ask some older people, and you know, they're like, oh, he's my grandson's favorite hero.
Well, I mean,
that
it's
was
just,
my Aunt May impression from the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans.
But I mean, like, if you, like, every Halloween, you can get, almost guarantee that there's going to be some kid dressed up as Spider-Man. I mean, without a doubt.
Speaking of Aunt May, I adored another character in this movie. Sally Field was great.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys enjoy Sally Field in this movie?
Yeah, I think she was a much better Aunt May than Rosemary Harris.
Yeah, and on top of that, they got her into some of the action that, you know, she was actually trying to help people and all that with her profession. But yeah.
Is this, in these two Spider-Man movies, we're going to go all over the place, so we're not going scene by scene. But in this Spider-Man movie, did she ever find out if he was Spider-Man?
No, I don't think so.
She didn't, did she?
No.
So really, nobody knew, found out other than Harry and Jamie Foxx.
No,
Gwen.
Gwen found out the first one.
Oh, she okay. So you're talking about just now, yeah. This one. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, that's one thing that, you know, if we can jump a little bit ahead to next week, I love how Marissa Tomei, that's just the final scene of the first film. It's just like, that.
Dude.
We don't need to worry about that.
Spoiler? I haven't seen it.
The one Marvel movie you have not seen?
Just kidding.
No, I will say, if you compare all three against each other, I do think, you know, that the third duo is kind of more, I don't know, maybe chemically better mixed together, but this one seems more like realistic. To me, I guess.
I got
to
disagree with you. I really think chemistry-wise, friendship-wise, acting-wise, I don't think anybody does it better than Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield.
No. I'm meaning between the Peter Parker and Aunt May. Those two characters.
Yeah.
You know, because Peter Parker and Aunt May in the Raimi trilogy was all right, but it wasn't. Yeah.
It was a yawn fest.
I was about to say,
all he did was go to her with complaints and sorrow, and I need to just off myself. That's, truthfully, looking back at it, reviewing these last three movies, it felt like a big crybaby fest.
Right.
Just me. The Chinatown breakup between Gwen and Peter in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought the dialogue was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really made you feel like you were watching a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah, that's true. And I like, that's a comparison I never thought I would make with a Spider-Man.
Hey, man,
movie,
I'm on my game today.
It works. But I like how they did bring back Dennis Leary as kind of like the ghost of.
I was going to ask you guys, I have it right here too, the Captain Spacey flashbacks, which I thought worked well in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think? You said you liked it?
Yeah.
Dennis Leary.
I think it was just a constant reminder of, hey,
don't forget to do this.
Yeah.
Because with great power comes great responsibilities.
What was that again?
The Jameis, not Jameis Winston. The Jenna, not Jenna Jameson either.
Are you sure you're on your A game?
I'm having a stroke while I'm on my A game. the Jameson emails.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but when I saw the responses back to him, I just kept thinking of J.K. Simmons on the other line.
I know. It's just like, you know, they wanted to do it, so why didn't they just bring him back, you know?
In the first 30 minutes, though, you get Harry's intro, Norman's intro. You kind of get introduced to Max. I forgot all about it until this recent watch. Chris Cooper.
Yeah.
Underrated.
He's only in the movie for like 5 minutes.
I know. I think I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, who is Norman again in this movie? Or does he even show up? And then when I saw Chris Cooper, I was like, hold the press. What the? You know?
Yeah.
He could have been an amazing Norman Osborn.
Yeah. Instead, they just lie him in bed and just put like makeup all over him, and that's his scene.
He's not even credited. He's uncredited in the movie. Yeah.
Sony, come on.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I was like, that's a big name for him to just be in there for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But no, I'm like, you know, he's somebody who honestly maybe could have topped Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I like how they kind, I don't know if this is in the comics or not, but I like how they kind of gave the goblins, it's almost like it's a medical thing. Like, that's how he's becoming Green Goblin.
Ed, I don't know. You've done some reading in the past. I don't know who else to ask. You're here. I've only watched the Spider-Man animated series. I haven't read any of the comics. Is there, and if so, let me know, what's the difference between the Hobgoblin and the Green Goblin? Because I know in the animated series, the Hobgoblin looked more like an orange, gangy-looking creature, and the Green Goblin was kind of like what Willem Dafoe was.
True.
So what's the difference?
So basically, essentially, some fans got kind of irritated with them killing off Green Goblin, for that matter, over and over and over, and then resurrecting and resurrecting and resurrecting. The Hobgoblin was kind of the answer to that they gave everybody back in the 80s, because literally, what was it that...
What do we see here in this movie? Is it the Green Goblin, or is he the Hobgoblin?
This is the Hobgoblin.
Does it say that in the movie?
I'm not 100% sure, to be fully honest.
I thought he was the Green Goblin.
Because from what I thought and what I could remember, the Green Goblin was always the dad. Okay, never mind.
Well, no. The Green Goblin was Richard Kingsley. Or the Hobgoblin was Richard Kingsley, a guy who was not related in any way,
shape, or form. Well, no. If what I was about to say before you cut me off, okay. We'll go out into the streets, motherfucker, is...
Goddamn, okay, what's up?
The Green Goblin, from what I thought, was always an Osborn, and then a Hobgoblin was...
Nine times out of ten, Green Goblin was Norman Osborn.
Dane DeHaan is credited as Harry Osborn, Green Goblin.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so...
And she kind of just popped up. I'm like, why is she even in this movie? But what did you guys think of Felicity Jones? She was just thrown in there, kind of like...
It's like she walked on set and be like, yeah, stay right there. Just let me film that for 1 second.
She felt like the guy who got killed by the lizard on the bridge. We talked about him last week. He was only in it for the car scene where he died.
Yeah. Well, she was supposed to be Felicia Hardy, which is basically Black Cat. They're trying to set that up.
Which is a huge character in the Spider-Man universe.
Let's talk about the Sinister Six, because that's where this movie ended, and it's kind of getting like, you know, slowly teased throughout the whole movie. Because let me count. I'm not very good at counting, but you would have the Rhino,
right?
You would have the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
You would have. At the end of the movie, you saw the octopus hands for
Doc Ock.
Yep.
You saw Vulture's gliding gear.
Right.
That's four. And then I know that they were going to do Venom and
Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Yeah.
But
usually other characters for the Sinister Six include like
Sinister Six.
Sinister Six for that
Sinister
matter.
Sinister?
Yeah, I know, right?
Speaking of Sinister, we're just a few weeks away from our ultimate Sinister giveaway, which I cannot wait to do, our top 5 plus 5 of 2021.
That was an accidental plug. I did not mean to happen.
Did you see? I'm telling you, dude, I'm on my game. I can catch something in an instant. I don't know. The Max incident where he dies and becomes Electro.
What do we think about? Well, what do we think about Max first off, and what do we think of Jamie Foxx?
Max as a character felt like somebody from Batman and Robin.
Mm.
I didn't enjoy Jamie Foxx as Max. I did enjoy him as Electro. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I do agree to a big point because Max felt very forced from Jamie Foxx. I mean, honestly, Jamie Foxx in real life has a very, very big swagger. Like, the dude's
he's won an Oscar. Cool. He can go.
Well, it's not that. He's just got ultimate cool on.
It is that, though. Yeah. I mean, when we're talking about...
Well, yeah. No, I'm saying he's a fucking phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
But I'm saying he's not, like... They flipped him 720, you know?
And I think that's the script. You know, he's trying to play this, like, nerdy, lonely...
And that's not Jamie Foxx.
No. He gets saved by Spider-Man, and he also basically has, like, an obsession with him now.
And I mean,
he wants to be that, and he becomes the 360 of that.
Which literally, you know, then he kind of gets more in his better form, for that matter, for, I would say, him. And I love the character, but apparently he did not like the costume.
There's nothing wrong with the bromance. Let me just start from there, okay? The scene where Parker and Harry meet finally one more time for the first time on the stairwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cringy. Mm-hmm. Andrew Garfield can act his ass off. But when you're... And I think Andrew Garfield would have had a better scene with Broomstick. But when you have that scene with...
Your breadstick.
Dane DuHaan, and he just... I don't know, man. Every scene DuHaan was in, I just... I honestly felt like I could have just skipped it and went to the next scene.
In a way, like, for what I always have thought, he kind of emulates, like, I'm better than you kind of thing. Because, I mean, like... I get, you know, the rich kid asshole kind of.
I didn't even get that. I felt like he emulated. I need more acting lessons.
Did you ever see Lawless with Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah,
he was in that.
I don't remember him.
I know, but I mean,
I remember Shia LaBeouf, Tom Hardy,
and he was in a Chronicle with the Michael B. Jordan. He becomes the bad guy. No.
Zach, come on, tell me you did not enjoy him. James Franco is a step above this guy.
Oh, yeah, well, without a doubt. But, I mean, it's just one of those things, I think. He just, like you said, he just looks like that rich kid that you just want to punch in the face. And, like, when he becomes, especially when he becomes Green Goblin through that stupid, like, sequence where he just, like, starts to transform and he gets, like, a new haircut. And during his transformation, it's just not, it doesn't work. And so, like, he just, and so, I mean, it's just, I don't know. He's not a menacing villain by the time we get to the actual climax of the movie. And so, the fight sequence in the clock tower is really good.
Yeah,
and ultimately what happens is just unbelievably tragic, but I mean, him just kind of being like, it's almost like when you look at him on the glider, you're just like, get off, you're stupid, get off.
Did anybody check out the extended or deleted scenes?
No.
No?
I did not.
I want to bring it up before we get on to some more scenes. At the end of the movie, there's an extended scene that was taken out, or a deleted scene, and, you know, Peter's standing there looking at, I'm jumping way ahead, but Gwen dies, obviously.
What?
Gwen Stacy dies, and at the end, he's looking at the grave and the tombstone, and he's there for hours, it seems like, because the time changes, it starts snowing a little bit, and the dad pops up, his dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, Peter doesn't want to believe him, and, you know, his dad is like, no, this is true, I had to fake my own death to protect you, Oscorp wanted me and you dead. What do you guys think? I don't know. Like you said, you haven't seen it, but it's worth YouTubing if you should. I would recommend it. Are you guys kind of glad that got taken out? Or would you think it would have been interesting? Because the movie's only 2:15, and that scene is only 5 minutes, so.
I'm glad they did, just because of where we are now with Spider-Man. It didn't really lead up to anything. And so the fact that, you know, this whole movie is basically a promo for all the stuff that Sony wanted to do with Spider-Man is basically like, yeah, I mean.
And I think what it was going to lead to, and we kind of got it with Homecoming, was the master tech father-like symbol, which you get with Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But in The Amazing Spider-Man, what they want to do with Part 3 in Sinister Six was his dad would have been like that Tony Stark tech guy.
Yeah.
Would have gave Spider-Man a shit ton more weapons. So that's the only reason I'm like, you know, are you glad it is or it's not?
I mean, if they had continued as in the number 3, maybe even the number 4, it would have been cool to put it in. As far as what happened, then kind of not really. But I mean...
But then you would have to come up with a whole bunch of explanation of how did he survive, where is he been? Yeah,
what the fuck is his mom doing? Is she still alive kind of thing? Like,
yeah.
What the hell is going on with that? But I mean, you know, it is what it is. They found a new Spider-Man pretty quickly after this, for that matter.
Well, and something else they were going to do in this film was quote-unquote controversy or interest in the fact that they were going to do Mary Jane. Shailene Woodley was going to be Mary Jane.
Yep.
They were going to bring her in, and apparently, from what I understand, she was very good as Mary Jane, that they cut her scenes. Because it'd be like, well, when Gwen dies, it's like, oh, you got Mary Jane, just go on to her. So you needed to have like some like
some things that we did not know.
You needed to have some sympathy for when she dies and just not jump on to the next character.
So, I also heard one of the big reasons why they did not go on with The Amazing Spider-Man 3, and want her, and another reason why they cut her scenes was because how bad her Divergent movie ended up being. Because I guess she had done like Divergent 2 or 3 right before this. The
first two, I believe.
And they'd done like horribly at the box office. They were like terrible. And I think they were like, maybe we didn't choose the best person.
I mean,
I think she would have knocked it out of the pack.
I mean, I've got on record that, you know, I'm not a big fan of hers to begin with. But I mean, I think it's always worse when you find things out and you'll be like, well, is there like footage to see like what she would have been in that film?
I mean, don't get me wrong. If you compare what she did in the high school show she was in years ago.
Every time we bring and talk about her, you bring that up.
What show?
Is it the Secret Life of the American Teen? Is that
Secret Life of American Teenagers.
The best work she's ever done is, what's that A24 movie? The Spectacular Now?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
But I'm saying, like, the difference between then and even the Divergent series compared to current is a fucking hell of a difference. Like, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like Pattinson. I'm not saying she's his level, because she's not, I don't think. But there is a hell of a difference between his Cedric Diggory and what he's doing now compared to her. I don't even remember her fucking character's name back then, but what she did in that compared to what she's doing now, for that matter, there's a lot of difference in it.
You guys don't see Harry in the actual Goblin suit until like literally the 2-hour mark. What did you think, Zach? We'll start with you. What did you think of the spreading the villains out? You know, in kind of and to me, the first hour of this movie, other than Harry, phenomenal.
Yeah,
it flew by really, really quickly.
You know. And, you know, we've talked about it. We're going to talk about it next week with, you know, just kind of give our predictions for No Way Home. Movies that have tons of villains, I think they just suffer from it because you have to divide your attention up with different characters. You get Electro, which is villain A. Villain B is,
Goblin.
And then, I'm not even really going to count Rhino because that's just like a horrible scene.
I'm kind of worried about the Batman in March because of they've already announced 3 villains.
Oh.
Movies with 3 villains don't really tend to do very, very well.
No.
I don't know. So,
and I feel like you're cramming too much into it. It's just like, it would have been fine even just to have Electro introduce, I think if you had a 3rd or 4th film, introduce Harry, and then in 3 or 4, you can do the Goblin thing.
Because that's the only thing. This movie felt super, super rushed and crammed. And just packed with so much pudding that you have...
Is that your new meat and potatoes?
Maybe. You have so much with Electro, and he did phenomenal. And then, if you want to throw Harry in there, fine. You could have thrown Harry in there, but don't make him the Green Goblin just yet.
Exactly.
And then you could have teased Rhino, because in this one movie, we get introduced to Electro. He becomes Electro. We get introduced to Harry. He becomes the Goblin. We get more scenes with Aunt May. You get introduced to the Rhino. He becomes the Rhino. You get the guy, the guy in the shadows. What's his name? The other villain. The guy who's trying to put the whole Sinister Six together.
Man in the Shadows.
Man in the Shadows. And then you get Gwen Stacy's death. All in a 2-hour and 10-minute movie.
Yeah.
It just felt really, really crammed. Ed, what do you think it was overly crammed? Or, I mean, literally, Sam Raimi did it right with Harry Osborn. You get 3 different stages of Osborn. In this one, you kind of get all of them in one movie.
Which, yeah. I mean, he could have been introduced in the first one just for, like, a 5-minute overview, cameo, for that matter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, a couple scenes with him that measured up to about 5 minutes, like one in passing, like, oh, shit, is that Harry Osborn in town? You know, kind of thing. And then, oh, hey, you know, little catch-up scene and all that before, say, like, the graduation or something like that. And then, you know, the eventual decline in this movie and then kind of what they did, you know. I mean, honestly, it set it up for a better showdown, for that matter, that would have been meaningful or, you know, redeeming. You know,
it almost felt like the producers and the director was like, there may not be a third one, so let's get everything we can out.
Yeah,
like they knew halfway through. Like they were just, because I mean, honestly, like, I think they had bigger plans, but like, I think halfway through they kind of just knew or found out, and they were just like, all right, fuck it, never mind. Let's just, how do we wrap this up, I guess?
What did you guys think about Roosevelt? The whole notion that, you know, it was a kind of like a tease in the first movie, and it's just like a train car from like the 40s when Roosevelt, you know, when Roosevelt was president, so he could hide his disability. But that's Parker's lab, basically.
I kind of feel like the parents thing in the second was a little overdone, especially since there was no true payoff. Personally, I mean, like, okay, you know, introduce the fact that, okay, he's the only reason he's good with it and he can do it. It's because,
yeah,
biologically, he's the only one other than me.
So a little lazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would have been okay. But other than that, like, all the shit that they had him go through was kind of just like, okay, this is
he becomes Spider-Man because of his genetics.
Right. You know, literally. But, I mean, other felt than lazy. That, it was just kind of like, okay, y'all literally dead-ass stopped for nothing.
Yeah.
Did you guys enjoy, and I rewinded it back and looked at it 2 or 3 times today. How impactful was Gwen Stacy's death?
Yeah.
Just the way the skull hitting the ground, you're just like...
Well, even then, we're like, when the spider web, like, breaks and you could just... Her hands falling, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And you think... And the sad thing is when he shoots the web and it reaches out, like, hands to catch her. But then it's just like... Like, it's bad.
Yeah. It was pretty...
Not bad, but just... Horrible heart for her to go out that way.
Yeah, it was a pretty emotional scene. I'm honestly gonna say it was just as emotional as maybe when Parker died in Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man, when Ben Parker died.
Oh yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of the way it was to be set up, because this is in terms that's of Spider-Man, this is probably the other than Ben Parker, this is the biggest death for him.
Yeah,
I mean, legitly, and that's a comic book taken straight from the comic book, basically, you know, of how she actually died.
For the character, yeah.
So, well, and, like, I didn't know, like, in doing some research, I had no idea, like, how much Gwen Stacy, like...
Was a big figure. Character.
Yeah.
She really was.
And when they killed her off, it was like, there have been many artists, creators of Spider-Man, other creators of Spider-Man, how do we bring her back?
Well, I mean, because there's been, and I mean, obviously with Into the Spider-Verse, for that matter, you've got, you know,
Haley Spider-Gwen, yeah.
For
yeah.
that matter. But, you know, I read
something that Stan Lee only killed her off in the original comic book that he wrote because he was running short on time and he was running late for something. So he was like, I'm just going to kill her off.
Damn.
So that'd
be funny.
He was literally late for something. And as he's writing this comic book, he's like, I'm just going to kill her off.
Oh, crap, I got a date. Just kill her off, bye.
Yeah.
Smack your head on the concrete.
Another thing is that in that Peter Parker meets his father scene, the dad actually says, with great power comes great responsibility.
Which we don't get, which is a staple of the Spider-Man movies. And
you would have
from the Garfield ones.
Yeah, you would have gotten it in this one if they did not cut that scene.
Have they done it in the Holland ones yet? I don't remember. Part of me thinks that Iron Man kind of does something similar to that, but
I think
doesn't
similar,
say it.
But not necessarily the line.
I think it would have been funny if Tony took Peter out for Chinese, and that was one of the fortune cookie things.
Oh yeah,
that would have been, how great would that have been, huh?
Yeah.
Marvel, you can reach me at 405-590-5711. That's a golden ticket idea, by the way.
Kevin Feige's listening. You know. Yeah,
oh, you know, yeah. You know when you guys go see the movie, if that shit happens, he's going to be like, Scream.
It's going to be like Scream. It's going to be like me, Jada Pinkett Smith. I'm going to get up at the beginning of the Scream and just... looking like somebody stabbed me in the gut. It's a publicity stunt. He just wants his Diet Pepsi.
Pay him off in Diet Pepsi. He'll go... buy him off in Blu-rays. He'll go away.
Speaking of Gwen Stacy, does anybody think that she will pop up in No Way Home?
Like
just a yes or no. Like, do you think the character is going to pop up since it's going to be a multiverse kind of thing?
It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I mean, I think everyone's so focused on the villains in this movie that they're going to like pull a rabbit out of a hat and say, "Hey, here's Emma Stone or some other actress playing her."
I think Jameson is going to be a big part of the multiverse. I have a feeling that Mysterio pulled him out of whatever universe he might have came from and put him in Tom Holland's universe.
That's a great, great, great thought right there, honestly, because that's...
Marvel, you can reach me at cinemn921@gmail.com.
Well, that's a huge thing of what his character is about. He definitely fucks with you. He reaches in and, you know, pulls out all kinds of tricks and all that shit. Do I think she's going to? I don't know. I mean, honestly, if they bring MJ back from the Raimi trilogy, then they did no wrong. It would be a disservice to not bring her back. However,
if Kirsten Dunst walks on screen, I'm gonna get a text from Johnny said 2 out of 10. 2 out of 10.
Fucking. But I mean, I don't know. No, not really.
You don't think she'll show up at all?
Not really.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait. Next week is going to be our big fantasy booking, throwing things out the window. Usually our bonus episodes are like an hour. Next week, maybe a little over. But
yeah,
it's going to be fun because we're talking really two movies.
Yeah. And it's a series finale of our bonus episodes for Spider-Man.
Yeah. So. Actually, our series finale for the bonus episodes in general... until maybe January.
And let's be clear. You know, we're not going to stop with the bonus episodes all together. It's just, you know, time-wise, it's hard to get all of us together at one place. And we're, especially you guys, doing the Friday the 13th and A24. It's just kind of like, we need a little bit of a break. We've
been doing two episodes a week nonstop since June.
Yeah. And so, I think what will happen is...
I have, at least.
Yeah. I think what will happen is you know, we're all going to... every month, one of us will pick a movie and we'll do a bonus episode. So,
yeah. And then, me personally, I'm going to do triple duty this week. You guys can catch me on Imosa One's productions as far as I'm going to be a part of a Friday the 14th podcast. Not their podcast, but it's like a YouTube channel exclusive. I'll share the links all on our page. I'll be there this Thursday live at 8 p.m. So, going to be chatting it up from our boys from Texas, and anything can happen live on YouTube. So it should be pretty fun. I can't wait for the conversation. Who knows what we're going to be talking about, but it'll be live this Thursday. Actually, while you're listening to this one, you could probably listen to this and then go check out that one on YouTube live.
Yeah.
So does anybody have any favorite scenes that they want to get off their chest before we give this a star rating?
You know, I know it's kind of morbid, and enjoy is probably not the right word, but probably the clock tower fight and her death. I think her, Emma Stone's just performance in that is very well done.
I would say, I would agree that's definitely one of mine as well, just because it's not literally that I enjoy seeing her death or whatever.
I do.
But it's more the fact that they put the death in there from the comics, basically, in there, and paid homage and respect to that. Not only that, but I did like the Electro versus their final Electro versus Amazing Spider-Man fight. You know, when they're having to go through and, well, how do I keep my web blasters, because literally he keeps frying them. She's like, "Did you do this?" And then he's like, "Well,
wouldn't be the first time she fried his web blasters."
And then basically, you know, she's like, "Well, did you magnify them or put him into get him magnetic, and he's like, "Oh shit, no!"
And
she's
and,
like, "That's why you're number two."
And something else is we really didn't talk about was there's this whole subplot about Gwen going to London, and I did like the very like sweet moment of like he writes, makes the message out of Webb on the bridge saying, "I love you, don't go," and it's just kind of like a little heartfelt moment before everything goes to hell.
See. This is the relationship between these two about going back and forth and I love you, I don't love you, are we meant to be together? This is how it should be done compared to Toby and Kristen Dunst. It felt like just a My Chemical Romance emo, I'm done relationship over that trilogy. It really just felt like a big, you know, Toby's crying, he's sobbing, he can't get what he wants. MJ's over here fucking around with other men, you know, throwing her legs, flaunting herself everywhere. It was really just different compared to this one. I really think what Mark Webb did between Gwen Stacy and Peter in this one was it felt more mature.
And you get better actors, so.
Tremendous. Way better actors.
Not only that, but I thought during that fight it was really cool for the little song to be played.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that was kind of a cool thing, but yeah.
If I had to pick any favorite scenes, I like the Joker-like death of Max becoming Electro.
Oh, that yeah.
You know, eels. Falling into the tub of eels. And first off, when he was on the morgue, we didn't talk about that scene, but when he was in the morgue on the table, I thought that was pretty gruesome, pretty dark.
Crusty skin falls off. Yeah, and
looked like he was made out of wax. Max was made out of wax.
Is it a House of Wax prequel?
It may be. I did enjoy the breakup, Chinatown breakup that I said it felt like a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when you get two actors and actresses that just know how to do it right, felt good, felt right. The first time that you get Spider-Man versus Electro in New York City.
The Broadway scene. Yeah, yes. That was cool. That was a good
very, vibe. Very good scene. You know, at that point, Electro's like, I'm not meaning to do this, but you know what? I'm here. I'm going to do it anyway. And then the tower scene, mm-hmm. and Gwen Stacy's death, pretty good. And then I don't enjoy the Rhino ending scene, but I do enjoy that ending scene. Just if Rhino could just pop up and Spider-Man talk to the kid, and then through the he throws the manhole cover. If that's how it ended without Paul Giamatti saying anything, I think that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the ending, and it felt like I was like, okay, let's watch The Amazing Spider-Man 3. Then I got let down because it didn't happen.
Well, that scene is actually the ending shot of the trailer where he's like using the manhole covers. I was like, why'd you give away the ending of the movie in the trailer?
Star rating, Zach? Let's start with Ed. Ed, give it away. Give it away now. What's your star rating for this movie?
I'm going to have to go with a 8, probably. Like this one quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that up. It's amazing. I know you don't like it, but for me, the rewatch of these two films were very neck and neck, so I'm going to go with the 8 as well.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
I think you didn't like it.
I just got done talking about how I loved almost everything other than...
No, not this one, but the last one.
Oh, yeah. The last was shit. I gave that one a 5, but you know what? This one is going to be just a step above. I'm going to give this one a 6. I enjoyed a lot of the fight sequences. Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield carried this one on their backs, literally. And mm-hmm. then the only thing that really done it down for me was Dane DuHaan, Jamie Foxx as Max, and then the Rhino. Again, my biggest...
The villains.
The biggest, some of the biggest storylines of the movie, the villains.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it for me. I think if you just left Jamie Foxx in as Electro, probably would have been a 7 or 8 for me.
Yeah.
Dane DuHaan is terrible.
Terrible.
Next week, guys, we are talking Spider-Man Homecoming and Spider-Man Far From Home. We're only going to touch Far From Home just a little bit because we did dedicate a full-length episode. We're not going to talk the entire Far From Home movie, but... It was a full-length episode. We spent a whole 103 minutes on it. So almost a two-hour episode back. Episode 44 of the Cinema Movie Podcast, we dedicated that episode July the 8th, 2019, to Spider-Man Far From Home. So go back if you want to and listen to that full-length episode. We will talk Homecoming because we have never, ever talked Homecoming in long form.
And just to clarify, when what episode was our last one? What number?
The Matrix was 170.
170. Oh, so 130 episodes ago. Well, wow. Roughly.
So we're on the road to 171 next week when we talk Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, the 20th anniversary of The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. But until then, Zach, are you excited for Homecoming next week?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it since the theater, and I haven't seen Far From Home since the theater, so those will be two recent watches.
Nice. Ed, next week, Far From Home and Homecoming?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for those two, definitely.
All right, guys, don't forget, Monday, we're doing the 20th anniversary of The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And we're also talking our top five girthiest movies that we like. The only exception is that it has to be a 3-hour long film. So we're talking our top five longest running film. And send us in your top five, as next week we will talk Spider-Man, Homecoming, and Far From Home on our final edition of the bonus episodes of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
You're gone. When you fall like a statue, I'm gonna be there to catch you, put you on your feet, you on your feet. And if you